Well, the Department of Health announced a new measles vaccination program this week, following an increase in cases of the highly infectious disease, which we actually thought we'd eradicated here in Australia, but it's still clicking around the world. The combination vaccine, MMR, which is measles, mumps, rubella, will be available for Western Australian adults born in or after 1966 free of charge. Travellers are especially encouraged to have the vaccine because measles is actually still common outside Australia, and those planning to travel after their vaccine should wait a couple of weeks. To explain it all, I've got Dr. Paul Effler from the Communicable Diseases Control at the Department of Health. Good morning, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
As everyone heard me before, you're originally American, but you now live here in Australia.
Yeah, I'm an Australian citizen now.
Excellent. Well, look, do you see many measles cases here in WA?
Well, we've noticed an increase in the last year, and most of those cases have occurred in young adults. And we believe that's because if you're born in 65 or you're older, you usually got natural measles, got sick from measles, and that gave you lifelong immunity. But the vaccine program came in shortly thereafter that, and many people only have one dose, and these young adults only have one dose of measles vaccine, and you really need two doses to get that protection up there to high enough, like 99% protection.
So can you just explain for people just the two different forms of being immune to the disease? If you were pre-66, how is that being immune, through exposure to the disease, different to being immunized?
So measles is very infectious, so almost everyone in the old days before the vaccines existed would get infected. And most would recover fine, but there'd be a proportion that would go on to get brain infections, serious lung infections, and another illness where the virus actually gets into the brain and over the course of maybe 10 years slowly erodes and sclerosis the brain. This used to happen commonly before the vaccine was widely available. The vaccine came on and really did eradicate measles from most countries that have robust programs like Australia does. But because it's still circulating in other parts of the world, when we have travelers that go overseas, if they aren't protected, if they don't have two doses, they can pick up measles and then bring it back to Australia.
And it's something that people used to catch commonly, but the outcomes from it could actually be quite dramatic, as you spoke of there, the types of encephalitis that are a symptom or a cause.
Actually, it's horrific that chronic encephalitis is really a bad outcome. But even today, I get a little frustrated when I hear people say measles isn't that serious. We used to have it in the past and it wasn't a problem. Well, if you're in the Philippines this year, they've had more than 300 deaths from measles alone just since January in children, according to UNICEF. And Europe is reporting almost 100 deaths from measles last year. So, I beg to differ that measles isn't serious. And the great news is there's a vaccine that you can get that can protect you from it.
So what would you say to people who might suggest that measles is not a dangerous disease, and that they'd rather get immunity just by catching it naturally?
Well, as I was saying, natural infection definitely has risks. And people that get measles, at a minimum, are going to feel terrible. You develop high fevers, muscle aches and pains, and ultimately that characteristic rash, up to 10% can develop complications, which can include pneumonia. So even in Australia, measles is serious, but it's a killer worldwide. And the way this vaccine works, the way it protects you, is we have a weakened version of the virus. It's been attenuated, we call it. And so essentially, you get exposed to a weak version that can cause your body to create protection, but not make you sick.
And so why are we had this protection? Is it because of an uptick in the incidence of measles overseas that we see a need now to focus on a particular age group of people to provide them with protection?
Yeah, I really think it's a couple things. It's because we have a lot of people in this young age group that only have one dose, and you really need two doses to get up to 99% protection. And we have a lot of people traveling abroad. I mean, it's just common for young folks in that over 20s under 50 to be traveling to parts of the world where there's measles activity.
You mentioned the Philippines. What countries is measles most common?
Well, it can be common anywhere, but Asia, Africa, and now even Europe are having outbreaks, and the United States is having outbreaks as well. In Canada, I saw, was recently sent out a warning. So we have a lot more travel than we have had historically, and we really need to get two doses into those young adults who are traveling in order to protect them.
So you're mentioning there, I mean, like first world countries, areas like Europe, the United States, with the recurrence of measles. Why did we manage to eradicate it in Australia through vaccination and countries like that who
Absolutely.
Failed.
So it's a vaccination. For measles, it would not be the case that better housing and clean water eradicated it. Some diseases that would be true of. But measles is so infectious, it will find, you know, if you don't have 95% of the people immune, it will find those people and make them sick. So it's really the vaccine that did that. And speaking of that, if you're traveling abroad, you don't necessarily have to be going to a country that has measles activity to be at risk, because it's so infectious, you can get it in airports. Right. We think, you know, as doctors, we think of it, if you go into a room 30 minutes after there's been a measles case and you're susceptible, you may get it because it's airborne. It's a classic airborne infection.
Right. So sneezing, coughing, everything, just projects it on out there.
And it hangs in the air for some time. So just passing through an international terminal where other people may have symptomatic measles is enough of a risk.
Now, not every adult can be vaccinated. Who are the exceptions? And why?
Well, there be very few exceptions, and it would be people essentially that are immune compromised, either because of an underlying illness or because they're taking medicines, if they're being treated for cancer or other thing, and their immune system is not up to speed. So most people can be vaccinated and protected, and it's really important for those people that can be to do it, because that's how we protect the vulnerable folks in our society, the person with cancer, the person on medicines. If the rest of us are protected, measles can't spread to them through us. We call that herd immunity.
Mm-hmm. So what are the symptoms of measles? What should we be looking out for?
Sure.
So and what do we do with somebody with measles in the household? I mean, look, I've just read that if somebody in the household is infected, then 9 out of 10 people run the risk of catching it. Now, that's one pretty big house, 9 or 10 people in that house. But the figure alone suggests that it is very, very communicable. So
yes.
What are we looking out for, and how do we not get it?
So just a clarification on that. That would be 9 out of 10 if they're susceptible. If they're vaccinated, it would not be the case.
Right.
So that's the important figure, is that we need to make sure people are vaccinated. So if they are inadvertently exposed, they don't come down with it. And what is measles as an illness? It's got a rather long incubation period, meaning usually the earliest would be about a week after you're exposed. You start to develop muscle aches and pains, fevers, headaches, and that progresses to a runny nose, red eyes, itchy eyes, and then ultimately a cough. People can have difficulty breathing as it gets to their lungs, and then a short while after that, the characteristic rash comes out. So the problem for us in public health and medicine is we don't know it's measles from that rash until after they're sick, and they're actually infectious the day before they develop symptoms. So some of the things that have happened here, we've had, you know, people don't know they have measles, and they're out at big parties, and the next day they come down with their illness, and ultimately we suddenly got a lot of people to make sure that they're immune. But if you aren't vaccinated in advance, there are things we can do to try and reduce your risk, but they're not as good as being vaccinated before you're exposed. So that's why I would urge every young adult to go out there and get vaccinated, especially if they're going to travel overseas. Just make sure they've got two doses in their history and they should be good.
And we find this, you know, these days, a pushback by people not wanting to get vaccinated. Could you outline for us the risks?
Well, absolutely. I sort of think of vaccines are a victim of their own success. We don't see much measles in Australia because the vaccine was so incredibly successful. And so when people used to see ill people or hear about a child that died or know somebody that got that encephalitis that slowly eroded their brain over years, they understood that being protected through vaccinations was a very good thing to do. Now that we don't hear that much about measles, relatively speaking, people tend to be concerned about the side effects of the vaccines. Right. So it's because they've been so successful at removing these diseases from our consciousness, from our everyday lives, that we reframe the risk.
And so side effects? Well, are there any measurable side effects?
So the measles vaccine, as I mentioned, is a weakened virus. So some people will get a mild illness as if they were going to get measles, but it'll be orders of magnitude lower than what they would have gotten if they got naturally infected measles.
And people talk about a correlation between the MMR vaccine and autism.
Absolutely debunked, repeatedly debunked, with a recent study out of Europe, again, showing that there is no link. That has been a big disservice, I think, to protecting people worldwide. It's made some people's of course, people want to do what's best for their children, and we understand that completely. But this misinformation about assuming there was a link between autism and a measles vaccine based on really shoddy studies has been a great disservice to the world. And we're finally moving past that in the dialogue about how to stop measles.
And finally, what would you say to adults thinking about having the vaccine?
I would say check and see if you got two vaccinations in your record, and if you don't, there's no reason not to do it. Contact your immunization provider, your GP, make an appointment, and they can talk to you about getting it done.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go and check and make sure I've got my double dose up. Mm-hmm. Not something I'd want to run the risk of. Encephalitis, inflammation of the brain. Yeah, not the way we want to head, right?
Absolutely.
Doctor, thank you very much for joining us this morning on the MAG and for outlining what we need to do to keep ourselves measles free.
It's been a real pleasure.
That's Dr. Paul Effler joining me there. He's from the Communicable Disease Control Department at the Department of Health. So do get yourself checked. Make sure that you're up to date with your measles vaccination, because it's not a pretty disease. Have a look online. It's not something you really want to catch, or if you've caught it, you don't certainly want to share it with people.